We got a treat for you today. Brother Michael Weber is with us, and he's got an awesome testimony about the birth of his son, Joseph Jeremiah Weber. Are you there, Michael?
Yes, I am, David. Lord bless you.
You too. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh,
please take your time and share with the brethren something that will edify them and encourage them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, thank you, and it's good to be here. I'm always enjoy coming on and just sharing a testimony what the Lord's been doing in my life and in our life with me and Michelle and our family. And of course, we just had a wonderful addition to our family, as many heard. On November 30th, Joseph was born, and it was a great testimony for us and a trial. Everything kind of, joy and temptations and trials, everything wrapped up in one. But, it was a good faith-building experience for both Michelle and I, and it really brought us closer to the Lord. And going through these things, it's really the way that you do grow in your faith is by exercising it and by going through these trials and tribulations. Through much tribulation shall we enter into the kingdom. And I've definitely found that out even more, as if I didn't know it before this, but each time, you learn something new and you're tried in a different way, and I just thank the Lord for that. But just to kind of go back a little bit, we had grace at home back on September 9th, 2009, so 999, and we had a midwife with us at that time, and I was thankful for that because I, there were things in my faith that I definitely wasn't, probably wasn't ready for. I was still, just growing, and I still am growing, but, the Lord knew what he was doing, and we decided to have a midwife, and that was good for us, and I learned a lot. But this time around, we just, basically started out, Michelle had a dream early on in the pregnancy about the baby being born really easy, and in the dream it was just the two of us, and she was saying that baby came out of me, like it was kind of like not a lot of effort behind it. And we found out that it wasn't so much of the going through the birth that was that, but afterwards it was like immediately she was up and around and moving around, and really had no effects on it. But I'll get into that later. But she also had a dream of that it was just me there by myself, delivering the baby. And I had a couple dreams in the past of having a boy, and I think with those, plus I just had a peace over me about it. So I just I just thought, okay, that's, I just felt like the Lord, something the Lord wanted us to do. And, but the important thing, and I saw this as it got closer and closer to the time that Joseph was born, is the important thing is that whenever we do, it needs to be done in faith. I mean, we can't let double-mindedness in. If we're going to be double-minded, it's better to not even go, put ourselves out in that, out there, because without the Lord and without faith in what he's done and his promises and standing on them, I mean, we're wide open for the enemy. And, we need to be abiding in Christ. We need to, be in that faith. And so, and matter of fact, I received a word that was shared with me about 5 days before Joseph was born, and I'm thankful. I thank the Lord that he gave me this word, because I really wasn't thinking about it. But the word was that if I was going to be double-minded, not that I was going to be double-minded, but if I was to not go through with it, to not go through with having the baby by ourselves, whether it was to have someone with us or have a midwife or at the hospital, whatever it was, but not to do it alone. And I can see why now, because we went through some trials going through it, that if we wouldn't have stood in faith and we would have been double-minded, the enemy would have just jumped, all over us, and it could have been disastrous. So, I'm thankful for that word. And, you know, just to say, I mean, I'm not speaking this on myself now, but I know in the past, double-mindedness, you know, and condemnation, those things were weak, were things that really beat me up a lot. You know, I part of it was because of having one foot in the world, one foot out, you know, that kind of thing. And there was, you know, something I wasn't close to the Lord like I should be, that intimate relationship. But, you know, all that doesn't matter now. I mean, the Lord's delivered me from that. That's in the past. But that double-mindedness, you know, and that condemnation, that spirit of condemnation that often would come against me, and you know, those things really had their way with me at times, especially when the trials got, you know, heavier. So that was something that really spoke to me, and I'm thankful for that word. But, you know, in the word it says in James 1:5 that if any of you lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So, you know, double-mindedness is dangerous, and it's something that, you know, you definitely don't want to go into something like this, like having a child, whatever it may be. You don't want to do anything really without the Lord, even the smallest things. But certainly in this trial, you know, it could have been, the results could have been, you know, it could have been a disaster. And I just praise the Lord that he was with us, and that, you know, he is giving us those words and those things that we need. But, you know, faith, I mean, it's a gift of God. I mean, if you need faith, I mean, where do you get it from? I mean, it's a gift of God. It's a, you know, fruit of the Spirit. You know, that's something that I started to see more and more as, you know, I was going through trials, you know, especially lately in the last, you know, few years, a couple years, that, you know, understanding that, boy, I just need more and more faith. You know, I just need, and but my faith needs to be, you know, in what's been accomplished. And if I don't have the faith, where do I get it from? You know, that's what I, you know, really needed to understand, was that it is a gift from God. And when I felt a lack of faith, that I needed to do as the Word says, ask and you shall receive. You know, in Ephesians 2:8 it says, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that is of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. You know, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. So that was something that, you know, also during this trial, I was just crying out to the Lord, and just, you know, if I felt like my faith was kind of waning, I just cry out to the Lord and said, Lord, you know, you're the one that gives faith, and I thank you for that faith, and I need that faith. So, and then there were, you know, then there were other things that I know the Lord has been showing me for some time that became even clearer. And that's just, you know, the hindrances too sometimes that we can have with even with my own wife, with Michelle. You know, I need to love her. I need to, you know, be with her, be support her, and my family. And if we can't, you know, love our family, if we can't love our own wives and our own families, then how can we possibly love others around us? And of course, you know, we need to love the Lord first, because again, we can't love our wives and our families if that love of Christ is not, you know, in us and moving through us. So, but in 1 Peter 3:7, it says, ye husbands, in like manner, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel, as being also joint heirs of the grace of life, to the end that your prayers be not hindered. So, of course, I definitely didn't want my prayers being hindered during this time. And again, it's not, you know, it's not that there's some formula to it or anything. It's just about loving the Lord. It's about giving everything to him. It's about surrendering your life to him. And it's something I'm learning day by day. I'm not sitting here saying that, hey, I've arrived there. And you know, I every day I learn something new and something in me. I see that this carton, this, you know, this thing, this flesh, you know, it's being put to death, you know, and by faith it's, you know, I'm dead. But, you know, it's something, it's a daily process, daily dying to self. And so, And it's not a matter of striving. And that's, I think, in my past, has been another issue that I've had. Thank the Lord again that He's delivered me from that, you know, and it's by His grace. But it's that striving, you know, striving to obtain something in your own strength. You know, thinking that there's somehow that you can manipulate God or you can do something to gain favor with God, you know, that it's our own works, that we have to work to achieve something. You know, it's finding out that, no, Christ is our righteousness and that we do things by His righteousness in us. It's not, you know, that we're doing something that we can muster up in our own strength. We can't bear fruit unless we're abiding in the vine. I mean, you know, you can't bear fruit on your own. You have to be in that vine. You have to be attached to your source. Our source of power comes from Christ. It's not from, you know, our own strength and what we can do. And so I know that's something that we hear a lot, especially with David teaches that a lot, and I'm thankful for that because that's something we need to hear. Because how often do we, you know, especially I know in this country, we have so much, you know, when we're growing up, being taught to us about competitiveness and you know, achieving and getting things and doing it in your own, you know, your working hard and stuff like that. And that, a lot of times, I feel carries over into our Christian walk, you know, and unfortunately. And, you know, it carries us into things like legalism and things like that. And, of course, we don't want to go the other way into lasciviousness and just thinking that, okay, you know, I'm just going to sit back and, you know, it's if I'm a sinner and saved by grace and all that. So it's, you know, but it is that understanding that it is Christ and it's His righteousness and it's only Him that's going to do the work and is doing that work in me, you know, and that's what I'm thankful for. So, but I did receive a word in the past that really spoke to me, and it was about, you know, because I wanted to really just walk in the Spirit and just walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I was told to simply seek and pray for God to fill you utterly with His Spirit. Get alone with Him and seek Him diligently for a fresh infilling. And I know it sounds simple, but I mean, how often, I look in the past, how often did I really do that? You know, and again, it's not a matter of doing it in a striving manner, but it's just wanting to be close to the Lord, wanting Him, you know, wanting all of Him and everything He has for me, and wanting to be all that He wants me to be. You know, it's loving Him. You know, and that's what it's all about. It's not a you know, making the Word, for instance, the Word of God, a list of do's, like I've got to do this, 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 and this, and if I do that, then I'm going to obtain this. You know, it's not about that. And when you do that, you really, I feel, separate yourself from the Lord. You separate yourself from His grace, and but you know, by obtaining things through just faith and what He's done. And so it's not using the mind of the flesh. You know, and going to the Lord in our time of need, knowing that He's there. Like it says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help us in time of need. So that's something, that's a verse that the Lord's really shown me a lot in the last year. And you know, that's something that's, you know, really important, just to really just that boldness and to you know, to get that help that we need. And so, I thank the Lord for that. And I always, you know, try to figure things out in my own mind, too. You know, it probably sounds like I'm getting away from this testimony a little bit, but just hang on there, because this stuff really is important for me and also for Michelle. I mean, both of us were just learning a lot through this process, and a lot of these things that I'm talking about were things that really helped me to get through this trial and get through this this event. So I was just thankful for that, and because also another thing in my past that I had problems with was just too much introspection, you know, myself, and it took away a lot of boldness. You know, it took away boldness from me because I'd look at things inside of me. I'd look at maybe something that I wasn't delivered from yet, something that was still there, and I would get really discouraged and really down on myself, and I would start beating myself up and saying, you know, why is that still there? Why, you know, even when I was doing things that was kind of allowing it to be there, I would still kind of have this this condemnation, this thing, stuff come in on me, this introspection, looking at myself instead of looking at Christ. You know, instead of looking at the serpent on the pole, I had my eyes on myself. And, you know, with these things that are coming to this world, if you do that, you're going to fail. I mean, if you keep your eyes on yourself and what you did in the past, or what, you know, maybe even something you're struggling with, you know, there's something you saw just come up in you, and you're going, oh, wow, why is that still there? Why is that not dead? Why is that not gone? See, you're speaking, everything you're speaking is just the curse. You're speaking the bad report. And that's basically opening yourself up and letting the walls down, letting the walls of Zion down, and allowing something to come in on you, whatever it might be, spirits of condemnation, rejection, whatever those things that come against you. When you start giving that power by acknowledging that. So, and, you know, I understood that, you know, boldness was important, you know, having that boldness with the Lord. And as it says in 1 John 3:19, we will know him by this, that we are of the truth, and will assure our heart before him. And whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. So that was, again, that was just important that, you know, I, going through this trial, that my heart wasn't condemning me, and so I started, you know, just confessing anything that the Lord brought up to me, anything that I, you know, could see with me and Michelle, things that, you know, maybe if there was anything that I hadn't, you know, confessed, like forgiveness for, you know, if I got maybe a little short or things like that, I understood how important it was to just to, you know, make sure that those things were right between us and between others, you know, that I didn't have those things in me that could be used by the enemy, you know, to come against me. But, you know, some other things that we were kind of battling was, you know, Michelle has a family history of some difficult childbirths. Her mom her sisters and stuff had shared just experiences and stuff that they had about having difficulties in childbirth, and there were things like long, hard labors and C-sections and things that, you know, of course, the enemy can use those and make you think, uh-oh, you know, what happens if I have these same problems, you know, and even though we had a midwife the first time, you know, that stuff is still there, and it can still be used, you know, by the enemy if we let it. And also my medical background. I mean, I've been a medical professional for quite some time, and of course I'm not in that now, right now, but I've had quite a history there and just a lot of knowledge, medical knowledge, in my head. And of course, you know, that worldly knowledge is very dangerous, because it starts to get me to look at what I see instead of looking, you know, at what does the word say, what are the promises, you know, looking at Christ, you know, instead of looking at things in my own strength and in my own mind. And so those were a couple things that we were battling with. You know, when Grace was born, you know, again, the midwife was there, so that did definitely was kind of like an insurance, you know, because the midwife was there. Midwife was experienced, went through many births, many, you know, things, so they knew kind of what to look for, and we were just kind of like relying on the midwife. But one thing, the Lord still gave us a couple trials, and one of them was the bleeding. Michelle had some bleeding right after Grace was born, and they put some direct pressure, and that wasn't stopping it. And so the midwife recommended an injection of some medication to stop the blood flow. And we were like, you know, and we had that faith. And again, we weren't just like double-minded. I remember just thinking, no, you know, we're not going to do that. The Lord's healed her already. We're going to stand and rebuke that, you know, that blood flow. And I remember the midwife was even, she was really persistent, was saying, well, I've got this natural remedy here that, because she, I think she was thinking maybe we were more on that natural side of things. And we said, no, no, we're just going to stand, you know, stand in faith. So we rebuked it, and then soon the blood, you know, blood slowed even more and more and then stopped. And it was kind of neat because the midwife didn't even stay around. It was that sudden, you know, that soon. Normally the midwife will stay there just to make sure that there's not any other complications or problems if she thinks that it, you know, might not be, you know, you might not be healed or out of the woods, so to speak. And she ended up leaving pretty much almost right away. And so I was just thanking the Lord that he did a quick work there. And we had a good testimony, you know, to the midwife, too. So, and then another thing that I went through, which was kind of a little bit of a trial for me, was that my son, my first son, and he was born actually many years ago, but he, at that time we weren't, definitely didn't, I called myself Christian, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't walking in faith, and I was just a Christian, really a name pretty much only. But, so I was in the Air Force at the time, and we had the, Michael in the hospital, and immediately right after he was born, the nurses came in and said, well, there's some problems. He's having difficulty breathing and these kind of things. And what had happened was that he'd come down with beta strep, which is just a bacteria that he caught when he was you know, coming through the birth canal. And they had to lifelight him to a children's hospital. I mean, and he came very close to death. I mean, it was like a very, you know, it was just by the grace of God because, I mean, they had to lifelight him, and I guess those infections it's very serious, and children do die from that. And so that was something that was also kind of going through my head because, you know, when Joseph was born, I was thinking, you know, we don't have no way of to check him, and he did have a little bit of this kind of like a little wheezing and breathing like stuff, and the first thing comes, you know, tried to come into my mind was that, well, what about if you got some kind of infection, or is that, you know, of course I rebuked that and didn't receive that into my mind or into me, you know, just came into my mind those thoughts, you know, the enemy just throwing those darts in there trying to get me to receive something so that I can, if I receive that and take it down into my heart and then just dwell on it, then that's where the danger begins. You know, it's not any condemnation to get a thought come into your head. It's what you do with it once that thought comes in. Are you going to dwell on it? Are you going to receive it into your heart? Are you going to react on it? Or are you just going to speak the good report? Are you going to confess it, you know, and right there? And so that's, you know, exactly what I did with that. But you know, I was really humbled in this. And as we started to go through the whole process of giving birth, and I know Michelle was too. You know, she was very humble through everything, and I was just surprised by her faith as well, because she's not really surprised, because I knew that she had had a lot of faith in the past for things, but you know, she's actually going through this, you know, with her own body. You know, here I am on the outside. You know, it's like. You know, it's a trial on its own, but it's, you know, she is actually going through the physical part of it, and I'm like, wow, you know, she was really, you know, just hanging on to the Lord, and I just thank the Lord for that, because if she would have been, you know, had a lot of double-mindedness and had a lot of lack of faith and things, you know, that, I mean, you know, that could have been made it more, but definitely a lot more difficult of a trial on me, so... But anyway, I just remember that humility. It was so important. You know, in James 4 and 6, it says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore the Scripture saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." And in Psalms 51, 16, and 17, it's, "For thou delightest not in sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou hast no pleasure in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." And so, you know, just through this all, I just remember just being humbled, knowing that, Lord, I can't do anything. You know, even my medical knowledge, you know, I went through one birth. Well, I had, you know, I'd seen birth before, but, I mean, I was like one of those on the other side of the glass births. You know, I wasn't right there, you know. And but this one, you know, with the midwife, I was right there. But that was my first one, and this was like my second one, and it was, you know, like, okay, here you go. One time you get to experience, you know, get to look at it, and now you're doing it. And that was like a year and a half almost, or, you know, before that. And so I'd forgotten some of the stuff. And you know, anyway, so that definitely humbled me because, you know, even though I have that medical knowledge, my medical knowledge is not, I mean, I'm not an OBGYN. I'm not, you know, it's not like I have extensive experience and background with everything that could go wrong. And I know enough to, as the world, you know, you hear that saying, you know, and someone knows enough, you know, knows enough to be dangerous. And, you know, I guess that's, again, you know, I had that knowledge enough for the enemy to use that and say, oh, what's that? You know, what's that? But you know, so that was not necessarily an advantage to have any of that. And it's not an advantage for a believer, really. I mean, honestly, to have the knowledge of the world and medical knowledge and those things, I mean, the Lord can use it, of course, and He uses everything that we've gone through, you know, and I thank Him for that. But it can also definitely be used by the enemy, and especially if we rely on it, if we rely on that knowledge. So anyway, to move on with the whole birth, the contraction started about 10:15 p.m. So that would be November 29th. And they were pretty far, you know, far apart at first, and very light, you know, mild, and things went pretty quietly for the first few hours, and then I started getting some attacks. It was probably around two in the morning. I remember just getting some attacks, some thoughts coming in, just kind of like just trying to say, oh, have you forgiven this person, or you know. Oh, is the Lord really with you? And is He really, you know, is He really going to get you through this? And then trying to use, again, some of these experiences like, well, what about Michelle and his difficulties in her family with births? And what happens if the baby doesn't come out, you know, and it's not, you know, and all these things start going through your head, you know, and I really had to, I got into the Word, and I really had to come against these. And because I could feel myself that discouragement just trying to come down on me, just like a weight. And I was like, wow. And I just started, you know, just rebuking them and getting into the Word and just crying out to the Lord. I remember it was just, you know, crying out to Him. And, you know, there was that temptation to kind of get into arguments with Michelle, like, you know, because we were both kind of, you know, it was getting later. We were both, you know, kind of, you know, keep feeling these attacks also coming on. I mean, she was doing really well, though. I mean, she wasn't really going through as probably at that point like some of the things that I was, but I was just rebuking them. And, you know, I just saw the importance of just at that point of staying in the Spirit and not giving these thoughts any ground, any root, you know, to take hold. And so, the verses that came to me like during this time was like Romans 8, 12 through 14, and it's, so then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So that was, you know, that was something that, you know, for some time I've been really seeing the importance of just being in the Spirit at all times, and that's, you know, whether you're doing dishes and things are all chaotic in the kitchen, and you know, or whether you're just alone, you know, by yourself. I mean, it's being in the Spirit, you know, because a lot of times people can associate with, you know, that those quiet times when they're in their room by themselves praying. Okay, that's the time when they're close to the Lord. But when they get around a situation where the things are chaotic, the kids are screaming, or something's going on, or there's, you know, things going on around them, that they can't get in the Spirit because they don't associate that with being in the Spirit. That time when they can be in the Spirit, they associate it just the times when they're alone by themselves in their room. And so that's kind of you know, where I wanted to be is just in the spirit always, no matter what's going on around me. And that, you know, in this, and what was going on here with the birth and stuff, that was a perfect time, you know, to be in the spirit, because there were some things that were going on that were not the normal, you know, that were not, that were a little, you know, I don't want to say chaotic, because I know the Lord had his hand on everything, but it, sometimes it seems that way. You got things going on and things popping up that you're not expecting and all that. So, but I thank the Lord that he was with us and got us through all that. And just a couple other verses I wanted to mention about the importance of being in the Spirit was Galatians 5 and 16. And it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." So when I would sense some you know, doubt or unbelief, you know, starting to creep in during this time, you know, I also, another thing that came to me was, you know, in Mark 9:21, where it talks about Jesus casting out the demon from this child, and his father was, you know, said to him, when Jesus said to him, "All things are possible to him that believeth," and straightway the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help thou mine unbelief." And that was something that, you know, when I was going through this, you know, if I felt even just a little bit of that coming in, that unbelief trying to creep in, that double-mindedness, if I felt, you know, kind of getting attacked with that, I was just cried out to the Lord. I said, "Lord, help my unbelief," you know, because I knew that that's where my strength was going to come from. And so, anyway, just to continue on, the heavy contractions was really getting close, and they're about, the contractions were, I think, at this point, were getting to be about 2 minutes or just under 2 minutes, and that was about 4:30 in the morning. And they just, it seemed like they were getting closer and closer, and they're actually under 2 minutes apart. And that's the time, usually when they get under 2 minutes, that's usually when the baby is basically on its way out. It's coming out. And so, but what happened was kind of unusual, and I don't know, maybe this has happened with others, but the contractions started actually getting further and further apart and subsiding, actually to the point where Michelle was able to catch some short naps. And she was, at this point, was getting kind of tired, and that was kind of a blessing, you know, blessing for her. But she was actually able to fall asleep for you know, a couple minutes or a few minutes. And they were getting to the point, I think they're about six minutes apart, and they were going the other way. And we were like, you know, I was like, "Well, wait, what's going on here? You know, is there something wrong?" I mean, you know, and so, again, that was where these thoughts would come in, and then we had to come against those and just rebuke those and said, "Okay, no, we're not receiving that. There's nothing wrong. This is, thank you, Lord." And so they, anyway, this kind of went on up until probably somewhere close to 6 a.m. or right before that. And then they started, these heavy contractions started coming back. But she didn't have an urge to, like, push the baby out. It was just the contractions were starting. So Michelle prayed, you know, for the urge and strength to push, and I agreed with her, you know, because at this point, we, like I said, we were concerned initially that the baby wasn't coming out, and so we just wanted to just stand in faith and just rebuke this and just, you know, and not receive the bad report. And so almost immediately, Michelle received the urge to just push the baby out. And actually, Michelle got a word from the Lord and showed her a certain position to get in that actually helped her for the baby to come out quickly. And so that was kind of neat, too. And we were, you know, when she got the urge to push and she started pushing, again, another trial came up. And the baby wasn't coming out. There was no evidence that the baby was coming out. And we were like, okay, what's going on? And Michelle was pushing very hard and was getting, and it was tiring her out, but she was, pushing very hard. And just, right at that time, we just said, okay, in Jesus' name, I command that baby to come out. And just like right within, it must have been within a minute or two, it was almost immediately, the baby started coming out. And it was also another thing was kind of neat. We had read something, and I think we heard a testimony. Actually, I think it was on the Tuesday night conference call. Someone had called in with a prayer request about a cord being wrapped around the baby's neck, and the baby wasn't breathing and stuff. And I don't remember a lot of details about it, but I remember it was right before Joseph was born, and I was thinking, again, those thoughts coming in saying, what happens if that happens with Joseph, But I knew that if I try to rely on my own strength and my own wisdom and try to prepare for that to happen, it's almost like asking it to happen. And maybe in a way I did, because as soon as that baby came out, that cord was around. And I don't know if it was around the neck or it was partially around it, but I know it was up around it. But the only reason I say that is because there was like a piece that came over me, and I just stuck my finger up there and just unhooked it. I wasn't even thinking. I wasn't even like, it was just like natural. It wasn't no stress, no anxiety. It was just pop. And then the baby came out, and, it was, again, it was just those things, those trials that come up in the midst of that, again, I just praise the Lord and thank him that he got me through that, because I certainly couldn't have, in my own strength, I would have been probably a wreck by then. Who knows what I would have allowed in by just speaking the bad report. And another thing was, when the baby first, when the head first pops out, I never even realized, I guess I never remembered back from when Grace was born, that they're kind of, they don't really breathe, and they just kind of sit there, and he looked like he was just kind of like bluish colored, and the cord was up there and wasn't breathing, and I was like, But again, it's just like I thank the Lord that he was, I just called out to him and just received his strength, and it wasn't mine, it wasn't anything about me that, got me through that. And we got him cleaned up, and like I said, Michelle was just immediately was up and moving around, and even when I was just trying to tell her, hey, relax, and she was up and moving around and immediately, and wasn't feeling any like ill effects or anything from that. And I know a lot of people talk about the pain and stuff going through childbirth, and I know there's been some wonderful testimonies about that, but we also didn't want to deceive anyone. I mean, Michelle had pain, but the trials and stuff that we went through, I mean, the Lord was there, and he answered, and he was faithful, and he got us through things. And and we're trying to grow in our faith in things. I mean, there's things that we're still not there completely. I wish I could say that in the last 30 years of my life I've been walking close to the Lord and that. But we're all at where we're at, for a reason. And I thank the Lord that he's got us to this point. And it's just a matter of just holding on to him and just, seeing him in working in us and working all these things out of us. And so, but anyway, Joseph was ended up being born at 7 a.m. And we were again just just thankful for the Lord bringing us through that. And Michelle, like I said, Michelle was I just thank the Lord for the faith that he gave her, just to stand, like I said, when these things were coming, just to go to him. And the Lord gave her, like I said, that knowledge on that position to get into, and just gave her that strength and the urge to push, and just gave her that peace throughout the night. And we did have those trials. We did have things that came up, but, we just stood in faith and just went to the Lord, knowing that he is our source. He is our, strength and our refuge. And just like it says in Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And he will make thy righteousness to go forth as the light, and thy justice as the noonday. And so, you know, I thank you. Thank the Lord that he did exactly that with us and, you know, for getting us through that. And, you know, my desire, you know, now is just for that intimate relationship with the Lord. And that's, you know, just to get through the things that lie ahead. You know, and we should all, and I know I desire that relationship just because I love the Lord and I want, you know, I want to please him. I want to do what he wants me to do, you know, and it's all about him. I mean, we're nothing without the Lord. And so, but the things that are coming upon this world, I mean, without an intimate relationship with the Lord, without walking in faith with him, it just can't be done. I mean, it's so important for us to just press into the Lord and put our faith and trust in him and be willing to surrender our lives to him, you know, not hold on. I don't want to hold on to the things of this world. I mean, what does this world have that is going to be worth, you know, giving up eternal life, worth giving up a close walk with the Lord, worth giving up that holiness and sanctification that we can experience, you know? And unfortunately, you know, we do things, foolish things in our past, and we just got to confess those things and move on from them. You know, not let that condemnation, not let the enemy come in and condemn us and, you know, hold us down and get us to receive things about ourselves that are contrary to the Word, but to latch on to the Lord and just to hold on to him and put our faith in him, knowing that he's done it all and it's accomplished. And so, you know, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for what you've done and what you're doing in us and the things that are to come. Awesome things that if we're just abiding in him, you know, it'll be wonderful, and we'll see the strength and the power of the Lord at work in us and in this world. And, you know, it's that prayer, you know, your kingdom come, Father, your will be done, you know, and so your kingdom come in us, you know, let it be established in us, and we thank you, Lord. And so, again, just to go over just some of the things that, you know, I learned through this trial was just the importance of always being in the Spirit, you know, just being in the Spirit at all times. And that's something that, you know, was just made real to me, even more so going through this. And, you know, through the trials and tribulations, you know, we are strengthened, you know, through much tribulation shall we enter the kingdom. So that's, you know, it's good to go through these things. I know at the time, sometimes I'm thinking, man, we should just be quick, and, you know, we could just, you know, sometimes that was, back in the world, it was just nice when you had the hospitals, because you let the doctors and the nurses and all them do it, and you just go and pick up your baby, and it's like, I know it's not for the women, it's not like that, but, you know, that's, but these things we go through, and it's not, and it can be something like giving birth to a child and going through that, like what we did, or it could be just simple thing. I mean, it's not, you know, you don't have to necessarily go through these things to, you know, to have those things worked out of us, have that dross, that, you know, those impurities worked out of us. It's a lot of things we go through day to day, but through those things we're strengthened and we understand the need for the Lord and that closeness with him. And, you know, please, I always ask people to pray for me just for that closer and closer, you know, walk with the Lord, just to have that intimacy, you know, with the Lord. And, you know, and when we were going through, you know, these trials when Joseph was just coming out, and I said about the cord and these things, you know, I knew that if I was not going to put my faith in the Lord, if I was not going to just trust in him, you know, that at any moment, you know, again, something could be allowed to have, you know, happen to us. And that's why, you know, I knew that it would only be the Lord that would, you know, get us through that. So, you know, and it says in Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. And so, that's what I pray, is just that, that testimony, that testimony of God's grace, of His power at work, in my life, and of course, understanding that, the blood of Jesus and how it just cleanses us, and I'm just thankful that, the Lord brought us through these kind of things. And again, I'm also thankful for the Lord bringing me Michelle, because, she was just her faith and just her, just desire to want to please the Lord and to want to walk by faith and not to give in to the enemy, not to give any ground to him, but just to keep going forward. And we do have times when we all, I know, we fail and we fall short in something, but the important thing is that, we get up and we confess that sin and we, repent and we just keep on with the Lord, and that we understand that our strength and that our everything, comes from Him, and it's not anything that we can do. It's not anything that we can make happen ourselves. And that was really, really something that I'm thankful that during this trial, that I did understand, because, going back to that word that I got, that if I was going to be double-minded, that was a big if, but if I was going to be double-minded, that it could have been disastrous. And obviously the Lord knew something, He knew something that maybe could have come up, and who knows what it would have been. I don't even want to think about that, but that double-mindedness is very dangerous. And so, anyway, I think that's about it. But again, I just want to give my praise and thanks, give the glory to the Lord. And thank Him for getting us through that. And hopefully this this testimony is a blessing to someone out there. And we'll try to get it written up completely to clean it up. We have it kind of written out, but I'll kind of clean it up, and we'll turn it in, so that way if anyone wants to read through it, they can. But again, thank you, Lord.
Well, Michael, let me ask you a couple of questions here.
Okay.
Just for the sake of those listening, was this anybody's idea over here? Did anybody, any of the brethren, say, put any pressure on you, or is this a part of our religion, or could you speak to that just a little bit?
No, it's interesting. I know that, I know that's one thing that whenever you've got people that, just want to live by faith and just want to see the promises of God manifest and in their lives and just want to walk in by faith and want to, walk in the power that He's given us, walk in Him. I mean, there's always that that temptation for people to think that, he's just doing it because there's been other people that have done it. He's just trying to, and that was something that we've definitely, talked about, me and Michelle. We didn't want to do this at all out of some show, of some religious show or and nobody pressured us at any time. It wasn't like someone came up to us and said, well, now you are going to have that at home, aren't you? You're not going to go to the hospital, are you? I mean, there was no pressure on us whatsoever. Matter of fact, we want to just have it be us and the Lord. I mean, really, that's what we want. That's my desire. And not at one time did anyone come up to me. Matter of fact, I think a lot of people thought that we were going to do it like just at a, before we actually started talking to people, they just assumed that we were going to have a midwife or something like that, or have it somewhere else. And I'm always very careful too about talking with others. When we share like testimonies like this, and make them feel like they have to do this, because this is something that, you need the faith. I mean, if you have the faith to do it, then praise the Lord. But if you don't, then praise the Lord. I mean, you don't want to step out and do something, just because someone else is doing it, because that's not faith. I mean, it's not faith to do something just because so-and-so is doing it. And And again, that was something that we never received any pressure whatsoever to do this at home from anyone. Matter of fact, I was kind of excited, you know, when we first started talking about it, just doing it at home and just having the Lord, you know, there with us and guide us. And, you know, so it was totally our own decision and not from anyone else. So,
you know, something that's been, you know, really on my heart, you know, in these last few years especially, is to be very careful that no one puts any pressure, no legalism on someone to do this, so that they're doing it out of some other reason, with other ulterior motives, besides just their trust in the Lord. They feel like the Lord has called them to do this, and they are putting their faith in the Lord. And, you know, it's just something we have to be careful of. I can remember groups from my past experiences that I knew about that did that, that kind of put pressure on people to walk by faith. Hey, if you've got the faith, you've got the faith, and that's good. But if you don't have it, nobody should be putting any pressure on you, you know. And those groups had troubles. They had big troubles. You know, they lost babies. And I certainly haven't suggested to anybody to do this, period. I do know that it is a good experience for folks, and especially in the direction that we're going, folks. We're very close to the beginning of the tribulation here now, and you know the pressure that the world is going to put on Christians, and the mark of the beast that's coming, and so on and so forth. I know a lot of people think that they're not going to be involved in that, but it's just you're wrong. The Christians are going to go through this time. And the point is, you won't be able to buy or sell. You'll be totally in the wilderness like the Israelites were, you know, just you and God, trusting in God. And a lot of the means and methods that the world has taken for granted just won't be there. And but when we get in that situation, in our weakness, God is made strong. And we can trust in Him. We can put our faith in Him. And I thank God that when we, you know, the church as a whole starts going through those times, He is going to give us really strong leadership, really anointed, powerful leadership. And I thank God for that. And we will be able to go through these things putting our trust in Him and watching Him be our provider and our Savior in all things. I praise God for that. Amen. Well, thank you, Michael. That was very good. I appreciate that. I know everybody else does. And great testimony, good preaching. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, and Lord bless you.